Why don't we pray together to start out? Jesus, Lord, we are here and we are yours. And our hearts are yours, and we would just ask you to prepare our hearts for what the Spirit of God wants to tell us, where the Spirit wants to lead us. We want you to know we love you. We want to be obedient far more than we are obedient. We want to be a part of your great plan for this world. We are painfully aware that we have one life to live, and how we'd love to hear that, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord," one of these days, soon. So we commit this time to you, trust you to open us up any way you care to. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess it was about 73 when Uncle Lauren came to visit us in Taiwan. And back in those days, there was one more of those economy drives that I guess we're always in. And Lauren shared that one of the plans was to sell the Glen. Did you know about that? Well, that kind of hit me. I've never done a tour of duty here. But as our beloved leader does, we went for a walk together, and I just shared with him, and I said, "Lauren, listen, I don't have a home. I've lived all over the world. There's nobody back in my hometown. And in a very real sense, that place is home to me. It's my anchor. And I'm sorry, my frog had triplets earlier this morning. I'm going to have to use this stuff. I hope you don't mind, or I'm going to run out of voice before this is all over with. If anybody wants them, come on up and help yourself. But I just shared with them how I felt about this place. Now, you know, when you drive in the gate and you see what Will has done and his team, the beauty of it, there's something special about it. And I don't know if you all appreciate it like some of us outsiders do, but it wouldn't be the same if we came in and the grass was tall and there were brown spots all over the place and pine cones all over the ground. And, you know, it was unkept and we walked into the castle here and none of the doorknobs were polished. Girls. And you know, there was dust in the corners and all. It wouldn't be the same. This is a special place to me and to a lot of people that you may not realize. And I just want you all to know that I appreciate it. I really do. As far as the headquarters up the hill there is concerned, that puzzle palace, I think I got lost 7 times this morning. They tell me it's the most efficient headquarters layout on earth, but I need a road map. It goes without saying, you guys are special to me. You're my family. You're the one that keeps me going. And could you imagine what would happen if I had to take over all of the details that you all do for me? And I may never have a chance again, and this is my first chance, but I want you to know I appreciate you. We're a team together, and I just want to say thanks. Now, do you know the verse, "Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever." Amen and amen. We've been doing some studies back home, some of the Chinese kids and my family, on the character of the Lord Jesus, the character of God. And one of his characteristics is transcendence. And that means, you know, you try to describe God and you kind of get the parameters out and he's beyond it. And then so you stretch your mind and you get those parameters out and he's beyond that. And pretty soon you get lost. Because God is so big and God is so wonderful. And if you've never done studies on who God is and what he's like, I would beg you to do that. It will just scramble your brains, but in a beautiful way, and it'll give you an appreciation of who God is, who our Savior is, because you can't differentiate the Lord Jesus from God. He is God. He's the God-man. And then just kind of dream, you know, and just Think about what God will do with someone like you who's yielded to Him. And you know, I don't know, when I was a kid, I'm sure nobody else does this, but I always imagined myself, I'd lie in bed and I'd dream about being the star quarterback, you know, and I could pass equally well with both hands. So the coach made me the center, and that's as far as I ever got. But the idea of dreaming about what, you know, just what God can do with you. Well, God's a big God. He's a transcendent God. And He's going to take your dreams, and just maybe, then they're going to become reality. I mean that. And I don't know. I think we need to be dreamers for the Lord. I really do. And I just want you to put that in the back of your mind as I share these slides and these experiences, because you see, these were dreams to me and to Ken years ago and some of the other gang on the old China Task Force. And now God has brought them into reality. And I don't know what it would do to your heart, but I know what it did to mine when one morning I was kind of waking up and I was letting my mind go and I was dreaming, and all of a sudden I realized, I'm not dreaming, it's come to pass. It's happening. Promise from God. Acts 13:41 that He gave me years and years ago. It says this, and I forget the translation. Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. So God's saying, look, it, your faith is so small, Tom, that it's like despising me. And you can wonder all you want. You're going to perish with that lack of faith. Because I'm going to work a work in your days. And it's going to be a work so big that you won't believe it, even though a man declares it unto you. Well, about 6 months later, I jumped in an old Volkswagen bus that Roy Robertson had driven across, good night, all the way from, I think, Singapore. Believe it or not. And I had the privilege of being with that dear brother for about 8 days. And he's a dreamer too, you know, and he was sharing with me all these things that he thought God was going to do in China. There's the promise, though a man declare it unto you. And we thought together and prayed together. It was just the two of us going all. We came here, as a matter of fact. And it was really fun. And then pick up a time, pick up a Newsweek. See, Roy and I are seeing what God does in China. And I wish I had time to tell you a lot of the details. But there are professional China watchers all over this world that just hang their heads and shake them. And they say, I can't believe what God is doing. It is amazing. It is beyond my comprehension. And I've been working with Chinese better than 10 years now. It is fantastic what God is doing in China. Well, I took a little trip last November, and many of you took the trip with me. You all took the trip in the spirit, and I had the privilege of being the one to see it. So what I want to do today is just share with you the trip that you took, you and me together, and share with you what God did. And then I want to preach a little bit. I'm already preaching. But I want to share a couple of thoughts on the recent history in China, and then some thoughts on where I think we might be headed. So let's go with that. I wish I could say, anybody wants to ask questions, go ahead. But with a group this size, we'd be here till midnight, I'm afraid, since China is so much in the news these days. So if anybody wants to talk afterwards, please come see me. I just prefer, you know, groups of 10 or 12 when we do this. But man, it'd take a long time to do it with this gang. So let's go ahead and go on our trip together. And I don't know how to... Let's see, here's a button. Let me see if this turns light up. Huh. Chang-gong-la. Okay. Now, if somebody turn the lights off for me and turn the projector on... Ooh. Thank you for that. You may not be awake, but I am. And I'm going to try to keep out of your way here. Can everybody hear me all right? I mean, Bob, can you hear back there? Okay. Thank you for that encouragement. Can you take this thing off? Nope, and look at what I'm doing here. That's not going to work. Can you hear me upstairs there?
Yeah. Okay, if you can't see this thing, kind of reposition yourself, and I'll talk as long as I can and try to stay out of your way. So, here we go. By the way, these are all home slides, and I take full responsibility for the quality. Also, there are a few that aren't very good, honestly, but you'll have to understand that there are times that you just don't say, hold it, gang, let me put my flash on and get a nice clear picture. And I think you'll understand that when we get to a couple of them. So here we go. This is leaving Hong Kong, 4 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. We took off from there, my traveling partner and I. I did go as a businessman to the Canton Trade Fair, where the Chinese display their goods, and we get a chance to buy them. I'll show you some slides of what they have. We got to the border north of Hong Kong City itself, a place called Sun Trin, where after, as Ken said, 17 or 18 years of prayer, I finally had the opportunity to walk across that border. 1961, I stood on that border and prayed for China as a young Christian. 18 years later, I was walking across it. That's one of the dreams I'm talking about. That's been a dream, something that I never thought I'd have the opportunity to do. And if you've been following Chinese history, you'll know exactly what I mean. They took us into a room like this where normally you would sit and be served tea and there'd be a fellow or a gal come along and very politely ask you some simple questions. Really what it is a Chinese interrogation. And I was all ready for it and had all my answers ready. Nobody showed up. No, that was disappointing. They kicked me if I stand at one place too long. We took off from there on the train after we were fed lunch and put on the communist Chinese train. And these are some slides just to give you an idea what the countryside looks like. I have no real major comment. Hey, this might work here. No special comment on these. They're just what communist China looks like along the railroad that most Westerners travel. Don't forget that. I really saw the best of everything, I'm sure. It was very clean, and I think the reason why the country was so clean is they didn't have anything to throw away. I'm serious. No garbage. Everything is used. A delicacy is chicken feet. Now you try to get something off of a chicken foot, and you see what I mean. But there are parts of the world where food is very scarce. And I know you've heard missionaries say this, but when you're there, talking to people whose tummies are empty because the food is scarce, it does something to you inside. And I'm not able to recover from that. These are just some of the green vegetables. I saw basically one kind of vegetable in the shops in Canton City. They, by the way, get 2 pounds of meat a month ration. They get 1 change of clothes a year ration. Oh, by the way, I forgot. I knew I'd forget this. Ladies, you are now looking at the most popular outfit in the world today. You probably wonder what the silly looking jacket is. You like that? And the hat, too. Men and ladies. A quarter of the world's women wear this outfit. Pretty sharp, huh? You like the color? It really, you know, it's really unusual. This is a Mao jacket and the Mao cap. And they kind of wear it like this, you know, kind of the taxi cab style. This is it. And as you watch the slides, with the exception of the children, virtually everybody wears something like this outfit. I got it in, it's genuine. Got it in Canton City. So if you want to be in style, I'll try to pick you some up next time I go back. Anyway, we got into Canton City. They put us on a bus, a Mercedes bus. And remember, I'm a businessman now. And took us to the big Russian-built hotel called Dongfang Bingguan. And got that? That's just to prove I was there. We got into our rooms. This is my traveling partner. And sort of settled in. Now, there's a book right here. I don't know if all of you can see it. That's a bilingual Bible. We wanted to experiment with a lot of things while we were there. One of the things I did was take that Bible and circle a different verse every day and then just leave it open for the cleaning crew and hope that they'd have a little kind of a guided quiet time while we were out. At the end of the stay, I asked the girl that seemed to respond the most if she wanted the Bible. Or I didn't say it was a Bible. And she said, oh, I'd love to have it. It will really help my English. So I gave her the Bible. and let it go at that. I just wondered. But you see, I know of cases where people have paid with their lives for the possession of the Bible recently. So we're not playing kick games. We're not playing patty cake. It's very serious business to these people to get involved in anything that has to do with Christianity. So we kind of got ourselves organized, had some planning meetings there in the dining room, and got over to the trade fair, which is that large building in the far side. And we got there on a Sunday noon. I have to tell stories in sequence rather than, you know, by day. We got there on a Sunday noon, and Monday morning we went over and did our business at the trade fair. And just to give you an idea of what it was like, this was the entranceway here with the great helmsman, Mao Zedong, on the left, and the present chairman, Huang Guofang, on the right. As you all know, Deng Xiaoping was resurrected recently from his third purge and is now running the country. So Huang Guofang is basically a very nervous figurehead. But he's 57 years old, maybe 58 now, and Deng Xiaoping has turned down the premiership because he's 72. All he wants to do is run the country and let this guy get the accolades, which he's not getting many of, but at least that's who he is. By the way, Deng Xiaoping is the protege of Zhou Enlai, who is the vice premier for many, many years. And I have it on good word from some of the believers inside of China that they think that Zhou Enlai is a believer in Christ. Was. He hopefully is with the Lord now. He's one of my heroes. He's a tremendous man. If you want to read his biography, it's called China's Great Eminence, written by a Chinese named Xiang, I believe. Anyway, Zhou Enlai, back in the 1930s, gave a Bible as a prize to a friend of a friend of mine for joining the Communist Party. Now, you put that one together. But I know that is a fact. And it could well be that God led that man to protect a quarter of the world from the extremisms of that man on the left. That man has murdered, the count goes up to as high as 60 million of his countrymen in less than 30 years. Can you imagine that? That's a quarter of America's population. I can't fathom that. That's beyond me. So anyway, Deng Xiaoping is now running the country. I'll get off of that. On the right side, we see Marx and Engels. On the left side, we see Lenin and Stalin. So you can tell what kind of a country this is. Below, there were some pictures of their model communes. This is an agricultural commune called Da Chai. And this is their petroleum commune called Da Qi, or Da Qing. And if you read communist literature, you'll know all about these. It's not that critical at this point. They had slogans through the trade fair. Now, this one here is significant. It says, "Let 100 flowers blossom, and we through the old will let the new emerge." See, I can read Chinese. The first half was the slogan for a movement we'll get to in a little while, in around 1957, but "Let 100 flowers blossom and let 100 thoughts contend" was the early one. Now it's changed, the last half, and it's very significant. "We through the old," you could interpret that to mean the idealistic Maoist communism, "to let the new pragmatic Deng Xiaoping communism emerge." Very easy to read that. That's the Chinese way of doing it. So, that to me, I saw that, and it just, you know, it took the wind out of my stomach. Here's another slogan in some very beautiful lacquerware. They had some awfully pretty things in the art field. "Machine room." I don't know anything about it, but if you all know machines, you might see something there you'd recognize. "All of this is for sale, for export." I saw none of this on the streets. "Gloves," which is what we were interested in, some sporting goods. I have a pair with me as a sample if you want to see them later. Various jackets, ski jackets, would you believe? Downfill jackets, ladies. Slurp, slurp. These were taken for business purposes. Leather goods, leather jackets. Awfully pretty things. Again, none of this is for local sale. They couldn't afford it. They make an average of about $30 US a month, people I talk to. And you're really rich if you have a bicycle and a radio. Rugs. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Wow. We have a man who's interested in furniture of different types, so we took some shots of what they're making in the way of furniture. Room dividers. That's, you know, typically Asian. This bicycle is interesting. You can change the wheelbase in it just by moving that lever I'm pointing to and sliding the center bar back and forth. The funny part of it is, if you're riding down the street and forget to do that lever right, you're liable to wind up on a unicycle. I never seen one like that, though. I thought that was really clever. This is just a mural about the size of the fireplace here that they painted. And I really love Chinese art, so I took kind of a side shot because it was covered with glass. Well, we did our business at the fair during the day. But in the afternoons and the evenings, we went out and tried to make contact with the people. Now, I speak Chinese, their dialect. And I was anxious, to say the least, to get to talk to some of the local people. And so we went out on the street Sunday afternoon. And I don't know that I can describe this to you, but it was like, you know, dreaming and being kind of on the outside of being invisible, you know. And you see life going on in front of you, but you're invisible. And the life going on in front of you is like a stage with a bunch of marionettes on it. Not human, but moving and so on. And when you stand on the streets in Canton City, that's what you see. The people don't look to the right or to the left. I stood on a corner in the middle of the day, and it was like I was invisible. Once in a while, I'd catch one looking at me out of the corner of their eye. You know, I'm a kind of a funny-looking dude anyway, but especially in China. And they wouldn't look at me. Nobody would talk to me. They wouldn't acknowledge my greetings. Nothing. And it was heartbreaking. Now, the Chinese, if you're familiar with them, there's something about the Chinese. They have a little sparkle in their eye. These people don't. There's a deadness. There's a subdued atmosphere. There's a lifelessness to the people, my people. It's heartbreaking, and I wept because that's communism. No contact. And here I was, you know, 17 years. Here I was. I was in China, but I wasn't in China. Not inside the hearts of the people. And so I began to pray. And Monday night, I got so frustrated after being there about a day and a half. At 11 o'clock at night, I get up and I just walked. And I just walked the back streets. I went just anywhere the Lord took me. I just walked and I prayed and I begged the Lord to do something. You see, you all were praying for me here during that time. I wound up in a garbage dump just sitting on the edge, just praying and wrestling with God in a way that I've never done before. And it seemed to me that God said, okay, stop eating if you're serious. Well, I love Chinese food and there was a lot of it there. But the Lord said, stop. I said, okay, I'm serious. I'm not going to eat another thing until something happens. God said, all right, I'll do that. And so for a period of time there, it was fasting. I'm not much at fasting, but I want to mention that as a principle to you all so you can crank that into your computers. That was Monday night. During the days, we did the trade fair thing, and now I'm going to go back and show you some of what the people in the streets look like. We left the hotel. These are the typical Chinese cars. Can you see all right there? I'm sorry. This court is... And the dignitaries in a proletariat cultural situation right around in that thing on the right, so basically a copy of a Mercedes. Equal to the people. With the curtains drawn in. This girl in the front, I think, epitomizes what I'm trying to describe to you. Her face is just blank. I don't know if you can see it clearly from where you sit. But there she was. There's no communication between those people. They don't even talk to each other. There's no animation to them on the streets. It's like each one is in his little private cocoon. They travel in groups, but there's no interrelationships. You just have to be there to experience it and feel that. frightening. Well, we rambled the streets, and my partner doesn't speak Chinese, so after a while, he just went back and prayed in the hotel room, and I just traveled alone, trying to find places to make contact. Took a shot, this is one of the poor ones, of some fruit that they had for sale. Rotten. But that's all that they had. The leafy vegetable on the right there is all I saw on the streets. They'd mix that with some rice and come up with some kind of a soup. That's all I saw that they had to eat. There may have been more, I didn't see it. And I spent hours and hours and hours on the streets trying to make contact, trying to get along, get to know some of the people. Nothing. Nothing. We also saw things like this. I'll translate that for you. It says, we must liberate Taiwan. And I showed these slides to people from Taiwan. You can imagine their reaction. Propaganda slides like this are, that's, you know, three stories tall. Well, after a while we decided, Tuesday afternoon, we decided to take a little sightseeing boat trip to see what would happen. We discovered that when you were near Chinese who were expected to relate to you, then you could get into a conversation. So, basically a day after I'd walked and wrestled with the Lord, we got on this little boat and took a little trip, and I'll just show you some of the sights and scenery of the Pearl River in Canton City, in an attempt to get more of a feel for the place. And as the Lord worked it out, I did get a chance to share a few words with one of the seamen on the boat, and gave him a little Chinese Bible, and that sort of lifted the burden. So I only had to go one day and then got back to eating again. But it was kind of a breakthrough. And I was scared stiff because, you know, I had him a captive on the boat, talking to him about the Lord, but he had me a captive on the boat too. So if I was talking to the wrong guy, you know, it was the slammer for me. So it's kind of a funny feeling sharing the gospel, wondering just who's listening or who you're talking to. But we did that, and I ran across another fellow who spoke very good English. He was a representative from Peking who was also on the trip, a Chinese fellow. And I met him the next day in the trade fair, and he recognized me, and so we talked for a few minutes. And it's very, very easy to witness in China. No problem getting into spiritual conversation. Just, you know, I'm a Westerner, I wonder if there's any religions in China. And he said, oh no, we don't have any. I said, well, he said, I'm a Marxist. I said, well, how do you answer the three questions then? Where'd I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going? And he went right to the middle question and talked about it for a while. I said, well, have you ever heard about a Bible? He said, yeah, I heard. See, that's a book that, yeah, it talks about love being the greatest. I said, right. Whipped out a Bible and showed him 1 Corinthians 13:13. And he looked at that and he got so excited. And he grabbed me and went over and we sat down and we kind of shoved the Bible underneath the corner of a table so people couldn't see. He did it, not me. And he read that over and over again. And then he started talking loud. And all around us were walking these, you know, Chinese military men in uniform and who knows what all else. I got nervous. So I kind of excused myself and walked on down the hall. And I turned around and looked back and this nut had stood up, and he was walking down a hallway about as wide as this room, reading his Bible like this. Yeah. So, you know, the Word of God, that's a beautiful thing. We need to pray for him that God will protect him until he gets, you know, gets deeper into the Word. But anyway, that's the result of this little boat trip. And so I sort of felt like, well, we made some progress. Also tried another trick. I found out there's a couple of old churches. And I was told by some Chinese brothers before I got there that sometimes the Christians would come and they'd hang around these churches, you see, and just kind of remember the old days. Chinese like to do that. So I got a big fish pin. Yeah, it's right here. Well, one like this. I just recently got this. And I pinned it on me. So I went out sightseeing. And I wore a raincoat about this color to cut down the Western profile. Plus, it had a lot more pockets so I could fill them all with Bibles. And headed for these churches. And every time a Chinese would walk by, I kind of, you know, see if he'd react to the pin. I got no reaction. But this is a little island. Ran into some kids. It was an experiment, you see, and it just didn't work. Recess for the schools, the kids were really animated, but not the adults. Kids haven't learned yet. This is an old Protestant church, built, I guess, early 1800s. Fascinating place. I went around the building and snooped around, and I found these big granite deals that had, you know, in memory of HMS, certain ship that went down at sea on December 4th, 1822, or something like that. Just really historical. Talked to some of the workmen there, and they showed me around a little bit. It's being used as a storehouse now. This is the fellow I talked to. You can see him in the bottom there. Well, he's got a truckload of wood. Sorry, the vertical doesn't show up too well. Found another church. This is a Catholic church being used as a little factory. So, nothing happened there. So I went back to the park. I was getting very frustrated at this time. Remember, you guys are praying all this time. I was in there, by the way, 6 days. Sunday morning till a Friday afternoon. That's all. Just 6 days. Went back to the park right next to the hotel and began to walk around this little lake you see here and just walk and pray and trust God to do something special. This was a Wednesday afternoon when I began to do this. Well, in the park, it was a real pretty little place. People seemed to be more animated, and as I greeted them in their language, they began to greet me back. I found out the people who were greeting me back were from out of town. You draw your own conclusions. But there was a group of four that greeted me back, and we got into a good conversation. Pretty soon the group grew to about 10, 12, 15, I didn't count them. And I got a little nervous because the odds were that three or four of those in that group were communist agents. So I sort of excused myself. This was Wednesday afternoon, and continued my little march around the pond. I wanted to find somebody alone that I could talk to. By the way, you notice the little red scarves on the kids there? That means they're members of the Junior Communist Youth League. A little club for the kids. That's the class picture there. Well, the next day, Thursday morning, as I was walking around, still wondering what the Lord was going to do, this fella came along and stopped and greeted me. It turned out that he had been in the group the day prior, the group of a dozen or so, but this time he was alone. So he took me over, noticed the palm trees, and sat me down, and we had a nice hour and a half chat. And it just had fun talking about this and that. It was my first real opportunity to talk in depth with a local, and I learned a lot, and I don't have time to share everything, of course. But I asked him, you know, if he'd ever heard of, or what, was there any religion? And used my little simple introduction into spiritual things. And he'd heard of the Bible, so I gave him one. That's what he has in his hand there. And as I talked to him, he said, well, I'm not really, you know, too strong in religion, but my mother is a real, real strong Christian. Wow. Now, I know of no case on record where a Westerner has made contact with a Christian in China without being introduced by another choir. That was one of my prayers. And that was that's a pretty unusual prayer request for God. Number two, through a series of circumstances, I had about 30 Bibles. And everybody else had left, and here I was with 30 Bibles, and I don't believe in dumping them. That's the term they use, meaning just leave them on a park bench and hoping a Christian will come along and scarf them up. I was asking God to give me some way to put these Bibles into the hands of the believers. So this guy says, my mom's a Christian, and I left the chair, or left that bench about this high. I said, as calmly as I could, oh, really? As we talked, I said, well, can we meet here tomorrow? And why don't you bring your mom along? I'd love to meet her. Just kind of get to know her. He said, yeah, she'd like to meet you too. So I gave him three more Bibles and sent him on home. Well, the next day, here's another picture of him with two of the Bibles in his hand. He wanted to hold those Bibles for some reason. He was so proud of those Bibles. And I was proud that he was proud. But the next day, which was a Friday morning, he showed up again in the park, and we again went to a very secluded place and sat down and began to talk. Mom was not with him, and I was kind of disappointed, but you don't show emotions to Chinese, so I didn't cry there in front of it. But as we talked, he finally made a comment. He said, well, I asked him, What did your mom say about the Bible? He said, oh, she was so excited, and so was my wife. Then I asked him, he asked me, he said, now mom's not here, but she'd like for you to come home with me so you can meet her. Well now, that's an exceedingly abundant place, and it's a very dangerous thing to do. So I asked him two or three times, I said, don't you think that's kind of dangerous? He said, oh no, no problem. He said, let's do it. So I said, well, let's do it. So we got up and walked to the entrance to the park. And as we hit that entrance, all of a sudden turned to me and said, I'll go first, you follow. Now, just like that, and off we walked. And as he went through that park exit, it was like going through a magnetic field. I've never seen anything like it. It's frightening. It's just like somebody's writing a story. He went through that magnetic field of some kind and turned into one of those marionettes. And just, boom, his head got frozen to his shoulders, his arms got mechanical, he marched kind of down the street. Almost looked like a Marine. And here I was, you know, kind of standing, what do I do? So I just kind of unbuttoned my raincoat and allowed my trade fair tag to show so people wouldn't wonder what I was doing. And I thought, well, I'll play his game. So I just kind of, you know, wandered off right behind him. Kept a distance, and it was almost like kind of a movie or a book that you read, you know, one of these I spy, you spy kind of things. And we walked off down the streets. Now, remember I told you Monday night that I just got up at 11 o'clock at night and wandered through the streets of Canton City and prayed and wrestled with God? This guy took me down those exact same streets. Now that's amazing. That's amazing. And as I walked Monday night and wrestled and prayed with God, I asked God to do something and just grabbed the hem of God's garment and held on for dear life. I didn't realize it, but I walked within 20 yards of this guy's home. And so God not only answered a prayer request that, to my knowledge, has never been answered before, but He answered it on the very turf that I asked it on. Remind you of anything about maybe Joshua kind of? Huh? Boy, God is amazing. He does things that just scrambles your mind, gang. And the further I walked, the more excited I got. These are the streets that I walked down, following this guy. Pretending like I wasn't, of course. We came to his house, and there was his mother standing outside. The first sister in Christ that I'd ever seen, to my knowledge. In mainland China. One that I prayed for 18 years, not by name. So I walked up to her, and I, in Chinese fashion, I bowed and began to greet her, and he grabbed me by the shoulder and yanked me into that little old apartment thing of theirs and dragged me back into the corner and sat me down and ran and got a towel and pinned it over the window that nobody could see in. And then he turned back into a human being. And we talked. For a while. Just for a few minutes. And then he excused himself and he went out and he got his mom. And there she is. And she came in and I was sitting there. You know, I don't want to say distraught. What do you say? Just emotionally strung out. I didn't know what to do. And she walked up to me, just walked right up to me and grabbed my hands like this and she stood in front of me and she said, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And she repeated that over and over and over again. And man, I'll tell you, she reached out and brought me to herself in love, in Christian love, like I have never, never experienced in my life, and probably never will again. That little old 58-year-old sister in Christ is somebody special. And she greeted me, she brought me to herself. She welcomed me as a total stranger into her home and her life. Man, that was fantastic. Well, we talked for a little while, and she shared that she's worshiping with a rather large group of believers there on a regular basis. I'm sorry, I can't give you the details, of course. And that things are kind of interesting in there. I learned some things that up until that time, we were just not aware of the outside Christian world. We just didn't know about it. You know, it could have been, gang, it could have been that Bible, that little baby has in his hands there, is the first Bible our sister had seen in over 30 years. Right there. That could have been it. I don't know. But you can well believe that being a good navigator, we're making sure that she gets followed up. And you can pray for her, because who knows what a visit from a Westerner will do to her from a communist perspective. I don't know yet. I left after about a half an hour, and I didn't want to endanger her any more than I had to. I wasn't in any real danger. You know, the communists are pretty pro-American right now. But I could have gotten her killed. And that's pretty serious stuff. That's heavy. So, said goodbye, and of course, you know what I did with all the extra Bibles I had. And I'm sure that she had good use for them. Well, Wednesday night, let me step back to Wednesday night. That was Friday morning. After I had met our sister's son, still no good contact, and I was wandering again around that. I went around that little lake I don't know how many dozen times. But I came across a young fellow, and here's his picture, who was sitting all alone on a park bench, just like that, with his head in his hands, and he was hurting. He was really hurting. I walked up to him, it was kind of getting dusk, and I just very gently as I could greeted him and just got into a conversation with him. And he looked up at me and he was hurting so bad he didn't even know I was Western, I don't think. And I was speaking his language too, which is even more unusual for that little neck of the woods. As we talked, it turned out he's 30 years old. His wife is in the hospital with a very serious problem because she's not an employee of the government. He has to pay the full bill, which amounted to US$90. He had scraped together about 60 of it, which is 2 months' wages total, and didn't know where in the world he was going to get the rest of the money. And he was he was at his wit's end. He was an afflicted soul, man. He was hurting. And so we talked, and just, you know, I tried to come up with ideas that might work. Could you work for the hospital? No. Could you get a job in town? No. He was from some distance out of town. Had 3 kids at home, didn't know how to feed them, had no money at all, was living on about 2 cents a day, food-wise. I asked him if he'd eaten yet, which is a Chinese greeting of sorts. He said, well, I've eaten 2 pieces of bread. And this was about 7 o'clock at night. That does something to your inside. I was sitting next to him. And so we talked for a couple hours, and it came time to leave, and I got up and got ready to go. He said, hey, do you come back here often? I said, well, I can't. He said, I'll be here at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. I got the message. So 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, you know where I was, Thursday morning, and there he was. In the process, by the way, I had shared kind of a testimony with him and given him a Bible. I shared, you know, when I have problems like this, I have a God who loves me, and I can turn to my God. My God will supply all my needs. And just shared as best I could how God provides, and how God takes care of His own, and how the Lord Jesus takes care of His own. And so the next day I came back, and he was in better spirits, I think, but still no change in the status. But this time I shared a little illustration. I don't use the bridge in Chinese. It assumes too much background unless you really add to it. So we've developed another little deal based on the Trinity, believe it or not. And it's rather simplistic, but it gets to the character of God quickly. If you haven't figured it out, this is kind of a hang-up of mine right now. I want to know Jesus. I want to know God. I want to know Him intimately. In fact, in Psalms, it says, He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. Anybody can see the acts of God. But it takes somebody that takes the time and the effort and has the desire to know the ways of God. And I want to be that kind of a somebody, and I hope you do too. There's special things in there. There really is. We need to go in. We need to dig Him out. We need to get to know our God better, because we're going to spend all eternity with Him. And He loves us. He really does. Anyway, this day I shared the illustration, which was an evangelistic illustration. Spent a couple hours. And then he had to go visit his little wife. So he went, and I hit the streets. And I think that was the day I went down and checked out the churches. But we made arrangements Friday morning to get together again. So Friday morning, I went to see the first guy, and he took me to see his mom. And so I sort of floated back to the park. You know, I was fractured. And here, this fellow was waiting for me. So we began to talk. And we talked about this and that. And finally, I couldn't stand it any longer. I said, "Say," I said, "you know, the conversation yesterday, have you thought any more about Jesus?" And he grinned at me, and I just wish you could have seen his face. He grinned at me and he said, "Well," he said, "my wife and I, yesterday, we took that book you gave us, and we read it over for a while, and both of us have decided to trust in Jesus." So you're looking at a very brand new young brother in Christ. Well, this doesn't happen every day. So I sort of recovered from that. And what do you do with a new Christian? Well, you follow him up. And my thing is scripture memory. So I started to preach him a little message on scripture memory. And he, as I was talking, he reached over and grabbed a pen out of my pocket, reached in and got a piece of paper out of his, which isn't really Chinese politeness. And he began to write, you know. And while I stopped talking and started reading, and I looked at that, and that guy was writing out the Lord's Prayer verbatim. I happen to have memorized it in Chinese, and I recognized it. I looked at that, and I looked at him, and I looked at that, and I looked at him, and I said, "Where'd you learn that?" He said, "Well, we were reading the Bible yesterday, and we came across this, and we thought it was important, so we memorized it." Now, listen, that sounds a little bit hard to believe. I tell you, that's the absolute truth. That happened. God does things these days, gang, that we're not aware of. Well, you know, he looked at my face and he knew that kind of rocked me a little bit. So he kind of cocked his head and he grinned at me and he said, "Now don't you believe I trusted Jesus?" I could not believe it. I still can't believe it. You know, I'm standing here, I got to pinch myself to say that actually happened. Now listen, family, you're back here praying. See, this is your trip, too. This is your son in the faith, too, and I mean that. I've been around a little while, and I know good and well, but that wasn't just me and God out there. That was you and me and God out there doing this. And I thank God for the privilege of being the front man. But your turn's coming. Dream. Things happen. Who would, you know, I never dream of anything like this going on. But God did it. And he did it in answer to prayer. And I think he did it I think God enjoys doing stuff like that. Answering the wild dreams of his children who have the courage and the faith to dream wild dreams. So don't give up now, gang. Don't give up now. Dream. There's lots of things to dream about. Well, there was still the matter of this little wife's operation. And I prayed and prayed about that. And you know, I'm sensitive to Rice Christians and so on. So the more I prayed, the more God laid on this, I think it's Proverbs 3:25, "Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it." What's $30 to us, huh? So I, you know, took out some local money and folded it up in a piece of paper. And just as we got up to leave, I didn't know how to give it to him. But, I did. So I handed it to him and I said, "This is for your wife. He has to accept it. Chinese politeness. Number two, you'll never open it in front of me. Chinese politeness." I knew that. So the last time I saw our new brother in the faith, he was walking off down that little path right behind us there to see his little wife in the hospital. And I'm waiting to hear from him, too, to find out how the operation went and how he's doing. And hopefully, God willing, I'll have a chance to visit him in the village one of these days, if it's safe. Well, you know, I jumped on an airplane and went back to Hong Kong. And that's the end of the slides. Can I have my lights? The lights, please. And I'd just like to share a couple more things.
Doing pretty good. Voice-wise. Quick history. A little lesson in Chinese history. 1949, Mao Zedong, in Tiananmen Square in Peking, proclaimed the founding of the People's Republic of China. He said, "We have stood up." We all know that. About 8 years later, things weren't going just the way he felt they should. The country seemed to be kind of not comfortable. They weren't going along with his radical, idealistic, communistic garbage. And so he started, remember that first phrase, "Let 100 flowers blossom, let 100 thoughts contend." 1957, the date. The 100 Flowers Movement, it was called. He invited all the intellectuals to come out of the woodwork and criticize his regime. He let people leave the country. He invited overseas Chinese to come in and rebuild the new China, which they did. He took good notes. Then the axe fell. And all those intellectuals who were unfortunate enough to open their mouths were purged, sent down to the country, murdered, who knows what. It was a bloodbath. But not the worst yet. But 8 years went by. The date, 1965. Again, this feeling that he had, you know. Asians are very intuitive in what they think and the way they operate. Kind of like you gals, you know, if the situation doesn't feel quite right, you know what I mean? You're just not comfortable. Asians are all that way. And the great helmsman was that way. So he, this time it was the party that wasn't doing too good, he felt. So he invited again people to criticize from within the party. He invited people back into the country. And sudden opening is the message I'm trying to get across here. People left, a few. Many came in to help rebuild the new China. And then he unleashed what we now know as the Great Proletariat Cultural Revolution, the Red Guards. Probably the most horrible thing in all of history. The teenagers in China were turned loose. They could travel anywhere they want. They could do anything they want. It was total, absolute anarchy. Millions of people were murdered. Professors paraded through the streets in dunce caps and shot. Arts, priceless works of art, were burned because it represented the old. It was absolute anarchy. The country went into the hands of the teenage gangs, the bands. I can't describe for you. I don't even want to know how bad it got. But I read reports and I talk to people that endured that time. And I don't think, personally, that there was a time in history that could have been worse. Well, they also destroyed the party structure. And Mao Zedong had to step in himself and take control of the government through the military, which he did. And he ran the country through the military till he died, 75. Then two factions formed. The radicals on one hand, led by his second-rate stage dancer wife, and the other side represented by Hua Guofeng, Deng Xiaoping, and the conservatives. Both communist, one idealistic radical, the other conservative. And, more quickly than most of us thought, there was a power play in 75. And the Gang of Four, as we now know them, was thrown into jail, we think. They may be dead. And the country went into the hands of the conservatives. And that's one of the greatest answers to prayer I think I've ever experienced in my life. That God delivered China out of the hands of radicals so far. A few years went by, and the conservatives gradually but purposefully gained power and began to turn this thing around and to get rid of the idealism that doesn't fill anybody's stomach. And now they're pretty firmly in charge, but you need to pray, because here's what happened in 75. The country was being run by radicals, huh? Uneducated, largely illiterate, untrained radicals. The conservatives came in. They resurrected all the people that these people had purged and put them on top. Now, how would you feel? We have some things to pray about. Because if this gang doesn't see the kind of progress they want, you see, they're going to pull a power play and try to throw out the conservatives, and history could repeat itself. So China right now is in very precarious position, and we need to pray, gang. We need to pray for Deng Xiaoping. We need to pray for Hua Guofeng. We need to pray for these people and ask God to deliver China from another bloodbath. Because if the radicals get back in power, this time it's going to be another 60 million all at once. All at once. This is serious business. China is the largest populated country in the world today. One quarter of the world. I think you all know that. So, now what's happened? Third time around the pattern, countries opened up. This time under the control of a conservative. This time to fill the people's bellies. This time, you read the papers, for the first time in, maybe in history, a top leader of China has visited the United States. Unheard of. While I was in Hong Kong, just after I got out, there was a march in Tiananmen Square in Peking demanding democracy for China. A person gave a speech, a half-hour speech on the subject. Now, you don't do that without government approval in a communist country. And now they have a wall they call Democracy Wall, where you can go and put your dots about, your big character posters. You can write anything you want and post it up there, you see, for people to read, to express yourself. That's how they do it. They're writing the American Declaration of Rights, or the Bill of Rights, rather, the Declaration of Independence, and putting it on the wall. This is in communist China. I can't believe it. Nobody can believe it. It's amazing what's happening. Overseas Chinese are being invited to come back. Contracts are being let all around the world for different things. 500,000 teachers of English as a second language are needed as soon as possible. Now, we don't know exactly how to get in there yet. But for the first time, you and I have a chance to go. To serve a year, 2 years, who knows. But to go and serve the Lord Jesus in the largest country in the world. Now, I talked to Dr. George Peters, who is a 70-year-old converted Russian communist and one of the foremost missiologists in the world today. I asked him, what do you think the greatest challenge in the history of missions, or what's the greatest challenge in missions today? Didn't bat an eye, said communist China. I said, why? He said, we're getting a foothold in everything else. But he said, communist China is the last and greatest frontier for missions in the world today. Let me read you a couple of things here. I can't put this in a nice outline, but it's miscellaneous. This is a report from a brother in Christ that I know personally. He spent 40 days in China while I was there, but he is a Chinese, and he went to another province and visited relatives. In his debriefing, which Jake did for us, here's a couple of the stories he told. This guy's cousin, I won't give you his name, I can't, but his cousin living inside communist China told of a communist official from the north who had a Christian wife. In talking with his children, it came out that their mother had been praying, and so he told her he'd kill her if she did it again. Later, he was sent away on business and their son became seriously ill. The wife cabled the communist official husband to come home because their child was sick. He returned, but the boy died. The wife said it was because of the husband's sins, but if he would repent and believe in Jesus, they would pray and the child would come back to life. He repented and they believed, they prayed, and the boy revived. Then this fellow says, that official is now a zealous Christian. Now let me give you some perspective, and maybe I get a little bit emotional about this, I'm sorry. We are seeing today, that's just one story. I've heard several of these from other sources, and there are more on this page. God is breaking into history in a way that He hasn't done for 2,000 years. He's doing it in the largest unevangelized land in the world. Miracles. It's a land that has been prepared linguistically, politically, and the people's hearts are flat empty. Communist China has never been prepared for the gospel like it is today. Never. And guess which country in the world has the best opportunity to do the job? Now, speculation. I look at our country and I see the moral standards. I see the materialism. I see the apathy in the churches and the people that claim to be Christians. I see the cults rising up. There's a kook on every corner. I think God is giving our land one more chance. We are in the limelight. We've got the ball for China. I never would have believed it before November 1978. I never would have. But you and I are in the most significant position that this country has ever been in to reach the world for Christ. I believe personally that if we don't take advantage of this one, if we drop the ball on this one, judgment is going to come. It's our last chance. Another thought. Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations. And then shall the end come. Now, I'm not a theologian. I just read the Bible. From what I understand, China's the last frontier. And then Jesus is coming back. Isn't that exciting? Boy, I'll tell you, it gets down to my toes. And I hope it does yours. And I'm running out of voice. But I'm almost done. You have an opportunity to get your big flat feet on communist soil for Christ. I would love to see the Glen closed down because everybody marched out. I mean it. I don't have the details yet. It's too early. We're doing research. We're trying to figure it out. You can pray. Lord knows we need to pray. But listen, you have a personal opportunity. Now, why don't you go home and dream? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are your servants. We are the tools in your hand. We are not the master strategists. We are not the master tacticians you are. We would pray that you would take us and place us in your place in this world to get maximum use out of what we are for you. Amen.